Well, it's good to be with you all this morning. My name's Andrew Hawksworth. I'm the Assistant Minister here. And as Jenny introduced at the beginning, really, of our service, we're going today to be looking at the subject of love, of God's love for us. We come basically to the end of this short summer series, and we've been looking at different things. We started in Genesis 1, God as creator, bara. And Ash looked at good, things that God had created were good, that word tov. We looked at sin and disappointment, and now we come to love, God's love for us. Ash prepared a few notes on the different topics before we began this series, and on this subject he said this: references to God's love in a sermon fail to do justice to it. Which, of course, immediately puts me under some pressure to be able to say something significant. Ash is right. We can find ourselves saying that God loves each one of us, that he loves even those who don't acknowledge or love him, even hate him. God loves. On all of that is true. But what it doesn't say is why God loves, how deep his love is for us and for all that he has made. We just take the phrase as a given. God loves us. We're going to look at a passage from the first letter of John shortly, and it tells us of God's love. But before we do that, we need to be clear about the use of the word love. In the Bible, in our English translations, it's that one word, love. But in fact, there are four distinct forms of love referred to in Scripture. They are eros, which refers to romantic love, sexual union. Storge, which is family love. Filio, which is brotherly love, that fondness and care for one another outside of family relationships. And then agape, which is the word used to describe God's divine love towards us. We can misunderstand what is being said when we read that same word for love in a passage from the Bible. So, for example, following Jesus' resurrection, Peter is being restored by Jesus. But he asks this question of him, doesn't he? He says, Simon Peter, Simon son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he says, you know that I love you. Jesus says, feed my lambs. And again, Jesus says, Simon son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus says, take care of my sheep. And the third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt. Because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. The distinction is that the word for love that Jesus used when he asked him, do you love me, was agape. And Peter replied three times that he loved Jesus, but the word that he used was filio, brotherly love. So you get the point. We need to understand what love of God, what God's love is, this word agape. So let's look at this few verses from John's letter, 1 John 4. Verses 7 to 13. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how we know that God showed his love among us. He sent his only, one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that he loved us. Sorry, this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his only Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, so we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. Have we got it? Have we got the message? God is love, and he loves all that he has made. He loves you. God is love is his character. But in a seeking to understand this word love, our minds do rush to our experiences of love, our experiences of the heart. Most of us experience the love of our parents and that deep love that we have for our own children. We love one another, and we can find extraordinary resources within ourselves to help others, to even sacrifice ourselves for the sake of others. For me, in picturing this word love, then a wonderful moment comes to mind 29 years ago of seeing my lovely Helen at the door of the church building about to walk down the aisle towards me to become my wife, my heart pounding, weak at the knees. You could have knocked me over with a feather. And so we think we know something of love. So that must be something of what God is like. Well, yes, it is, in a way, but we know that our love, even for the person that we are closest to, the one that we love the most, our partner or our best friend, isn't pure. Our love is fickle. We show love that we might receive love. We love others to satisfy our own needs. We are cautious in love, for we fear rejection. We love others with conditionality. We can speak even hurtful words to those to whom we say, I love you, and we can be unfaithful. Our love is human love. So if our love is limited, what is God's love like? What is agape love? Here is the word, agape. It's used uniquely in the New Testament to describe God's love. And it is God's attitude towards us, God's orientation towards us. It cannot be compared with human love, his love that isn't based on any need for reciprocation. It is entirely constant. It is faithful. It is enduring. It's love without qualification or exception. It's love that goes on loving, irrespective of our response towards his love. It is selfless, sacrificial, it is divine. And who of us can love like that? And agape is also the word used to describe God's love for his son Jesus. As Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane before the cross, in John 17, Jesus says to his Father, and we have the words on the screen, I have made you known to them, the disciples and all that who have believed, and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. The relationship between God the Father and the Son is agape love. And even more remarkably for us, that same word that is used to describe the love that believers should have towards one another, the word of the new commandment that Jesus gives to them, as I have loved you, agape, so you must love one another, agape. God's divine, holy, and pure love is his deliberate choice. God chooses to love us like this. His very nature requires him to do so because he is love. When we looked at the beginning, that first message of this series, when Ash was speaking about God as creator, that word that was used, tov, God's word for good. In Genesis 1, we read, and God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. So he made Adam and Eve. They're about to get into trouble there, as you can perhaps tell, but for now, they're in the garden with God. God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. And God saw what he had made, and it was very good. He created what he intended to create. It was his plan to share his image with humankind. And God is committed to all that he has created. Of course, Adam and Eve did sin. They made their decision to disobey God. And we'll come to God's response to that later. In the Old Testament, we see God's love to humankind demonstrated in covenant relationship. Covenant meaning to become one, to be conjoined. As God journeyed with his people, he entered into a covenant relationship with Abraham. He made a promise to Abraham and to Sarai that he would bless them, a couple who were childless. This is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. You will be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. God puts a letter from his own name, Yahweh, into Abram's name and also into Sarai's name, and they become Abraham and Sarah. So we have a demonstration here of God's love for his people. This demonstration of commitment to us. Yes, his people have gone astray. They've wandered off. They've worshipped other gods. But God's love hasn't stopped. His love is faithful. His love continues despite our response to him. Of course, the ultimate expression of God's love for us, the ultimate demonstration of God's agape love for us, is the sending of his son, Jesus. What does it tell us in 1 John 4? This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. He's never stopped loving. He's never stopped loving all that he has made. And if we really want to know what God is like, if we really want to understand his love for us, we must look at Jesus. Here are three short phrases that remind us of that. John 14, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Hebrews 1, 3, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Colossians 2, 9, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in him. This morning we sang Reckless Love. Do you like the song? How do you respond to that song? Reckless Love. Is it slightly provocative? Is God's love really reckless? Well, I like to look at it this way. The writer of Psalm 136 sings, God's love endures forever. Not once. He says it 26 times. His love endures forever. It follows every line of the psalm. The psalmist grasps the truth about God's love and he repeats it and repeats it until it is ingrained in his mind and in ours. I think the writer of Reckless Love does something similar. He is trying to grasp some way of describing how outrageous, how self-giving, how sacrificial, audacious, extravagant, relentless, the words go on. And of course, how risky, because we might not love him back, but how wonderful God's love is towards us. There is no mountain you won't climb up coming after me. There is no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down coming after me. Do we get it? He's simply trying to express how outrageous this love is for us and how unstoppable it is. It persists, it continues. It's never ending. But God's love certainly isn't reckless in our common use of the word reckless, because his love for you is entirely intentional. His desire for relationship is sincere, and his plan for your salvation, redemption, is accomplished. Well, there's so much more we could say about God's love, but there are just two things here I want to think about, draw our attention to as we finish. I referred to Adam and Eve, and they sinned, and they ate of the fruit that was forbidden them. Their innocence was lost, that beautiful relationship with God changed forever. And what happened next? Genesis 3 tells us that God came looking for them. He was walking in the garden. He couldn't see them. He couldn't find them. The Lord God called out to the man, "Where are you?" And of course he answers. He says, "I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat?" And we know the story, I think. And so it goes on. The consequence of what he and Eve did breaks that relationship. Their eyes are opened. But what I want us to see is what God does. God comes looking for his beloved. He doesn't abandon Adam and Eve. He comes after them. And the story of God's love throughout the Old Testament and the New is of God coming after his people. Cain kills his brother Abel. What does God do? He goes to Cain and he talks to him. "What have you done?" And the Lord doesn't abandon Cain. In fact, the Lord puts a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. Jesus searches out individuals and speaks God's love and truth into their lives. Zacchaeus and Matthew, the tax collectors, the woman at the well. He spends time with Nicodemus and he tells this beautiful story of the prodigal son, of the father who never stops loving his son and looks out for him every day until he returns home. And when he returns home, he throws his arms around him in an undignified abandon, in great love for him. And this is what God is still doing today. He still reaches out to men and women with his love, always in pursuit of us, wanting restored relationship with us, all that he has made in his image. He loves us with an unparalleled love and always remains true to his nature, for he is love. And finally, just want to return back to that verse in John 17 that we looked at earlier and that we saw, that God's love for Jesus was agape love. And this time we see that Jesus' prayer is that his love be in us and in our relationship with him. "I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me," that's what we saw at the beginning, that agape love that God has for his son Jesus, "may be in them. That same love may be in us, and that I myself, Jesus, may be in them." The message of John 13, of 1 John 4, is that we are to love one another. We cannot do that through our own human love. Love, however hard we might try, we often fail. We need to be filled with the love of God, agape love. And that love will enable us to love others, and our response to God will be to worship him. The writer Dallas Willard said, "Our aim under love is not to be loving to this or that person or in this or that kind of situation, but to be a person possessed by love as an overall character of life. We need to become love as God is love." And Jesus has enabled that to be. Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, your love for us is deeper and beyond anything that we in our own words can even imagine or describe. Your love that caused you to send your one and only Son to die for us and for all people, for all the sin of the world. That is love. Love beyond measure. And Lord, as we've briefly been thinking about that again this morning, I pray that you would touch our hearts to remind us of your truth, but to be knowing deeply within us that you love us. And Lord, whatever our place before you today, whatever our relationship with you, whether we know you or we have known you for years, may we be reminded again of that love within us, deep in our hearts and in our minds. That your love never ends, that your love never fails, that you reach out for us. God has always loved. The God revealed in Jesus is always with us, always for us, always in pursuit of us. Reach out to God. He is reaching out to you. His love for you will not fail. His desire for you is unfeigning. Be blessed by his love today. And as you know that love, respond to him in worship and adoration and praise with the whole of your being. And know that love forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.